Hello, everyone, and welcome to Local Matters. I'm your host, Buddy Pearson, and on this podcast, Education Matters. Well, today we want to discuss tutoring in the Putnam County school system. Based on Tennessee law TCA 49-6-3155, passed in 2021, third grade students who do not have a score of proficiency on the English Language Arts section of the Tennessee Comprehensive Program may have requirements related to summer school and or tutoring to be promoted to fourth grade. So tutoring is a vital way for those third graders to advance to fourth grade. So today we're talking with a couple of tutors in the Putnam County school system, Christy Campbell and Angie Robinson. Ladies, thanks for joining us on Local Matters.
Thank you for having us.
Well, so we're talking about tutoring. Let's just kind of get into how you both became tutors. Christy, tell us, how did you become a tutor in the Putnam County school system?
Well, actually, my story is kind of interesting. My husband was representing a partnership from his work at one of the schools and was chatting with one of the principals and just was telling her, I had done some subbing previously, that, you know, how much I loved her school. And she said, well, if she loves her school, why don't you see if she would come work as a tutor? So I applied and got to work.
Wow. And what school was that?
Jerry Whitson.
Oh, okay. Great. And Angie, what about you?
Well, I was a retired teacher and last fall, I found the opportunity to tutor, and I didn't know they had been going on the year before, so I was kind of hesitant to check into it. So I was subbing at Northeast, and one of the teacher's assistants that I had almost 30 years ago in my classroom mentioned the tutoring, and they said, it might be a good thing for you to do. So I said, well, okay, if I check into it, and I get it, I'll take you to lunch. So I ended up giving her a gift card, and it all worked out. And I tutored at Cornerstone and Sycamore.
Okay. Now, did you both tutor fourth grade students?
So I tutored, I think all of us tutored third and fourth grade last year.
Yes.
Okay.
And I tutored at Jerry Whitson and Northeast on different days.
Okay. So what was your average day like when you would go into Jerry Whitson or Northeast? What would you do?
So we have small groups of just three students, and we would follow the directives. There was a liaison who was a teacher in the school, and so she would let us know what they were working on, what they needed, and kind of provide us a pathway for what we were working on. So then we would meet. My groups were either 30 or 40 minutes, just 3-1, and go over those basic skills, whatever the objectives were that they were needing to, you know, some support in.
Yeah.
So sometimes it was games, sometimes it was, a lot of reading passages, just things that would help prepare them to show their proficiency.
Yeah. Angie, was very similar?
Very similar. I did 45-minute sessions, and I also had third and fourth and three kiddos. And a lot of the same. They gave us a lot of reading passages to help them develop comprehension skills. But I think the most important thing was the writing that we started probably toward the end of the fall semester. Because to teach writing in a class of 20, 25 kids, it's almost impossible.
Sure.
But that 1-3 ratio was wonderful because you could teach them strategies for writing.
Yeah.
So, and as a teacher, I never was taught, really, when I went to school at Tech, to know how to teach them. So it was kind of a learn by process when I was teaching my own fourth graders. So I think that was huge because that part of the test counts probably, I'm thinking about a third of their score.
Yeah.
So if they can write and they can learn some strategies for comprehension, then I think those two will mesh together and make them a much better reader and writer.
Well, and you know, the way that students grow the best as writers is with feedback. And in the 1-3 context, they can get that constant, instant feedback that's very personal and really helps to, leap that growth forward, you know, really expedite it, I think.
So talking about that feedback and that 3-1 ratio, Does it make the students feel, I guess, a little more at ease because there's only three of them and that they can give you immediate feedback and you know, that you kind of have that relationship instead of them being in a big class and maybe they're not going to ask a question or, you know, maybe they're afraid to ask a question?
I think most definitely. You know, I had some of mine that were very reserved and very hesitant to want to put out work sometimes, but they were comfortable. They were comfortable with the kids because they were the kids I had, except for one group. I had all the kids from the beginning to the end. Yeah. So it was a good situation to kind of build rapport with them and them kind of trust you to. They also asked, why do we have to be here? Well, you just need to be here. So, but it was good. It was a good situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you ask about, you know, they got very comfortable with us and my my kids. You know, we became like a little, you know, family together or whatever. Right. And yeah, the nice thing is you could learn sort of what barriers might be causing that child to struggle in the classroom and quickly learn how to navigate around those. You know, some of those kids, they just needed a little help focusing, which you can easily do in a group of three. Or some of them, English might not have been their first language, and so they needed maybe a little bit more of a foundation that, you know, when they're in the context of 20-ish kids, it kind of just gets lost. So it's that ability to really zoom in and meet their needs and develop a rapport where they are, especially those more reserved ones, quite comfortable interacting with you.
You know, it's obvious you both know a lot about education. So let's talk a little bit about your backgrounds in education. How do you come to this point to be a tutor in the Putnam County school system? And Angie, you said you were a former teacher, retired. So
I did.
Walk us down memory lane here.
Just kind of memory lane. Yeah. So I graduated from Tennessee Tech. It took me a little while to find a job, but I had an opportunity in 1991 to have a 6 weeks leave of absence at Sycamore Elementary. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Maynard said, "That's all I've got." I said, "I'll take it." So I started out in that leave, and one thing happened, and another teacher moved to another school, and I went to fourth grade, which is where I was doing the leave permanently, and I stayed there at Sycamore for 30 years.
Wow.
In the same grade.
Yeah.
So it was a good experience. I had great principals all the way through. So.
And now when did you retire?
2020, December of 2020.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. During the COVID.
Yeah. It got a little dicey in those years. And I felt like I was, we went to a meeting one time and they said, "Well, you need to be on the pacing guide." And I said, "Well, I'm about 2 months behind." And I'm like, okay. And at that time, it just felt like it was a good time to do something else. And I had grandbabies that were coming. And so it worked out.
So you've really been from 2020, December 2020, until this past year.
Yeah, and I actually started subbing January of 2021.
Okay.
So it wasn't like I did want to teach, but I just wanted to do something with teaching, but not have, to be honest, all that extra pressure and work and just be able to still be a part of the schools. So.
Yeah. Christy, what about you?
Well, my story's a little bit different. I married a gypsy.
Yeah.
I like to joke. And so we have had 21 addresses since we got married in four different states and five different countries. But I feel like teaching for me is a little bit like water. It's always got to find a place to go.
Yeah.
And so everywhere we've gone, I've found some way to have my toe in the education world. So I've taught public school in Kentucky, North Carolina. I've taught private and charter schools. I've taught at international schools in West Africa. And then I've also often done freelance stuff to support homeschool families. So it's interesting. I've even done adult literacy, too, in a French-speaking country. So for me, that desire to disseminate information and to teach students has been the same throughout all of those contexts. And I think that's one of the really neat things why I enjoy tutoring, because at the end of the day, our purpose in tutoring is to figure out how do we get these students to know and show that they know this information. And so it boils down to that basic principle, which makes it, I think, really fun for me, because it's like a challenge of how do I get this child to grasp this and demonstrate that they know it. And so, yeah, that's been a fun part of it, without all of the pressures of basic ID. I mean, we certainly have.
It's like you get the good stuff. You get the relationship, and you get to teach, and you don't have the headaches of, you know, preparing the lessons and dealing with all the other things that you have to deal with.
Yes, and we certainly have accountability and objectives,
right.
But it's like the Disney world of the teaching opportunities.
So you mentioned the word accountability. So what kind of accountability do you have with your students as a tutor?
Well, I feel like they were monitored monthly, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they did a reading passage. And, of course, they tracked, you know, were they improving? And then we checked in with, like Christy said, the person that was in that grade level. You know, if there was something going on in the classroom that they knew they were having struggles with, then they would tell that to us, and we would try to find a way to work with that. But I'd say the easy CBMs were the biggest way that they monitored progress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think what Andrew said, we also kept records, like, you know, we charted what we covered each group time and that sort of thing that were turned in monthly. So I feel like they did a good job of just making sure that we were working towards the goals.
Yeah.
Attendance was taken. Yeah. I mean, you know, and they, it usually most of the time everybody was there. But
and who are you basically checking in with? Who's helping guide you?
So we have, or I think they're structuring it slightly different in the year ahead, but this past year we had a teacher liaison at the school who was a teacher who, you know, was sort of the bridge between the regular classroom and our tutoring groups. We tried really hard to stay aligned and to undergird what they were doing. And then also Rachel Manis, who's the supervisor here, you know, she checked in with us regularly. She came and observed us a couple of times throughout the year. And, yeah, and, you know, we would meet together a few times throughout the year to just kind of make sure that we, you know, knew where the current goals were and that sort of thing.
Okay.
And at Cornerstone, the assistant principal was wonderful. You could go to her if you had an issue, and she was very much hands-on during that whole process. So, and same, we had teacher liaisons, and I can't say enough about Rachel. She is a fantastic person and very helpful.
Yes.
Great. Well, you're listening to Local Matters with Buddy Pearson. We're with Angie Robinson and Christy Campbell. This is Local Matters with the Folks on Education. I'm Buddy Pearson. Our guests this week, Angie Robinson and Christy Campbell, who tutor students in the Putnam County School System. And we've been talking about a lot of different things of the tutoring process and who they kind of report to. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But right now we want to talk about them each individually and get to know them a little bit better. So Angie Robinson, she is retired from Sycamore. She was in the school system for a long time. Now, Angie, where are you from originally? Where were you born? Where were you raised?
Well, I was actually born in Aurora, Colorado. My dad was in the Air Force. My parents were both from Clay County. So my dad, when he got out of the service, he was in the Highway Patrol. Mm-hmm. And we moved to Lawrenceburg, Tennessee, then Pikeville, Tennessee. I started school in kindergarten through seventh grade there. Then he got a promotion. We moved to Cookeville. And I started junior high over behind the burger shop years ago. And I knew one other person in that entire school when I started, and he was a seventh grader. So he didn't really count.
Yeah.
And it was very, very different. Funny experience. I had Miss Connie McBride for English.
Really?
Yes. And I was in the class, and she said, write a composition. I'd never heard the word composition before.
So didn't have words like that in Pikeville?
No, no. So I looked around, and they were writing what appeared to be a story.
Uh-huh.
So after she took those up, I guess she decided where people needed to be, and I kind of got on the low end of the ranking and a lot of troublemakers on that side, and I was scared to death. So, but that was, and it's funny that I taught reading and writing after that point. But so went on, graduated Cookeville High School. My husband, Mark, we dated from ninth grade, and we've been married for 38 years.
Wow. So, congratulations.
Thank you. And we've got two kids, and they're both married, Lindsay Vetter and Kelsey Dale. And she's also a teacher at Avery Trace. Kelsey is. And we have three grandbabies, Avery and Finley and Hayden. So
when you're not tutoring, what are you doing?
Well, this past, since March, I've been babysitting my youngest grandchild, Hayden, on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. So that's a whole nother world that is quite different than teaching. But I've loved it. And he's going back to daycare in the end of July. So.
Yeah. And you already talked about your time at Sycamore, of course, with Principal Maynard, who was there for years and years and years.
He was great.
And now the switch of the principals now, where Tracy Neighbors retired, and now you got Deborah Robbins who's stepping in. I'm sure you worked with her.
I actually worked when – So I worked for Mr. Maynard. Mm-hmm. I worked for Mr. Wheaton. Yep. He was wonderful as well. And then when Mr. Wheaton came, he knew Deborah, of course, and she came to Sycamore and taught fourth grade.
Yeah.
And when she was not used to being self-contained, which that means all the kids we have all day.
Yeah.
She said, I don't know if I can do this. We said, well, if you'll work out a schedule, because her brain works in that way. The next day she came and Mr. Wheaton said, yeah, sure, try it. And they're still doing that now, switching classes. So she's going to be a great asset as principal. She's a fantastic person.
Yeah. And Christy Campbell, who has 21 addresses and several years, 4 states, 5 countries. I can't wait to hear where you're from and just how you came to Putnam County.
Well, I was born and raised just outside of Cincinnati in northern Kentucky. Florence, y'all, some people know us. That's where I grew up, and I went to university at Eastern Kentucky University, where I got my education degree.
EKU, the Colonels.
Yes, yes, sir. And that's where I met my husband, and we married actually right before my student teaching. So when we graduated, I got a teaching job, taught a few years in Kentucky, and then he wanted to go to seminary. So we moved to the Wake Forest, North Carolina area, where we lived for several years. And then we did about 10 years of ministry, moving around the Southeast in North Carolina and Georgia. And so I just did different teaching things along the way, often part-time, because during that time we had 4 children.
Yeah.
And so, when you have a house full of babies, after my second was born, we realized full-time teaching wasn't on the table for a little while. And so I always found part-time educational opportunities, kind of like what I'm doing now.
Right.
So then we actually ended up adopting a 5th child from Africa. And during that process, we really just felt like we were supposed to go and live internationally. We had actually gotten married thinking that was going to happen, but, we started a family and we're living the American dream and all of that.
Right.
So finally, we made the choice to move to Africa, where we lived for 8 years.
Wow. And what part of Africa?
We were in West Africa. So we spent time in Nigeria, Ghana, and Niger. So, my husband did a lot of work with deaf people there, and so we were there for 8 years and probably would still be there, but one of our children had some medical needs that just couldn't be met. In the UN ranks 184 countries on a poverty index, and we lived in number 184.
Wow.
So the needs, medical needs that we had just couldn't be met there. So we made the decision to come back to the States, and some friends who lived in Cookeville reached out. They had a job opening in the field that my husband worked in, and we at first were hesitant. We had never thought about coming to the volunteer state, but 5 years ago we made the move to Cookeville, and we are so glad we did. It's a delightful place to live in so many ways. And so since we have been here, I've done a number of things, but last year when the tutoring situation came in front of me, I thought that's the perfect fit because I still am not to the point that I need to be in the classroom full time. We still have our youngest at home. And we've had a really busy season since moving to Cookeville. We've had three children get married in 20 months.
Wow.
And then we've had two grandchildren come along. So I've been very much in a season of wanting to keep my teaching skills going. So, yeah. And I've just, during all of that, I've had the opportunity to work with students of all kinds. Like I said, I taught in an embassy school mm-hmm. in Niger, teaching a lot of kids whose parents worked for major nonprofits or were, you know, dignitaries or working for the U.S. government. I've also taught, like I said, I taught adult literacy. So I've just done a little bit of everything. But yeah, I love just teaching and love my family. So it's been great how I've, you know, I've been able to marry the two in different ways.
Yeah, it's yeah, isn't it neat the different paths that you both have taken to get to this point?
Yeah, if you would have told me in 1995, you know, I just wanted to go somewhere and be the very best teacher I could be. And, you know, I sometimes envy people like Auntie who have a story of 30 years in one county. But then on the other hand, I just see, you know, mine's not that neat and tidy, but then I, you know,
what experiences.
So it's you know, both are beautiful, I think, in different kinds of ways. So.
Yeah. And to be able to share those experiences with your students, you know, Angie, like you said, you've been a fixture in a classroom for a long time, and so you've probably seen a lot of things progress as far as the state of Tennessee goes from an educational perspective. And then, Christy, you've got all this outside experience of all the different things to bring to the table. And so I would think that, you know, just on a regular basis, you're able to draw from those experiences when you're, you know, tutoring these students.
Yes. I think so.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's great. And we want to talk about some of those experiences a little bit and some of those maybe techniques that you use coming up in our next segment. Right now, we're going to take a break. I'm Buddy Pearson, and you're listening to Local Matters, and we're talking with Angie Robinson and Christy Campbell. And this is Local Matters with the folks on education. I'm Buddy Pearson. We're talking with Angie Robinson and Christy Campbell, who are tutors in the Putnam County School System, and they tutor on a regular basis. And we have to have tutors. If you don't know why, there was a law passed that says, you know, third grade students, this is a pathway. It's a pathway for those students that maybe don't do as well on the ELA portion of the TCAP to be able to advance to the next grade. And I know that you both tutor third and fourth grade. So let's start with third grade, and they're getting ready to take the TCAP. So why would you or who would you be tutoring in the third grade before they've even taken the TCAP test? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, the administrators usually have those kids already identified.
Gotcha.
By testing of second grade has testing,
yeah.
So it comes from there, I assume. Then, so they, each tutor, now I did have, there were some tutors who had a few more than three, just because maybe lack of tutors or just situations. So they would come in third grade. We worked on the reading comprehension.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times those kids, to me, were just, either they didn't want to take the time to read the passage.
Right.
They didn't like reading. Or they, you know, they may have had trouble actually reading it just by themselves. So we'd usually read it out loud. Then sometimes I'd have them read them by themselves because they're going to have to do that on the test.
Right.
And then we would just, the questions that they had were a lot, very mirrored the similar kind they would have on TCAP. And then discuss test strategies, you know, get rid of the silly answers,
right.
You know, go back to the text. And that's something they really don't want to do because it takes time. But that's a key, I think, in going back. Sometimes you can't. Sometimes it's you got to use your information and your thinking. And again, they don't sometimes want to do that. You know, because it's a little bit harder.
Yeah.
So.
And Christy, you're shaking your head as she's explaining this.
I'm thinking, you know, I think if someone wants to lose weight, you know what you have to do to lose weight,
right?
You have to eat less. You have to move more, right?
Yes, yes.
But yet we still sometimes will hire a personal trainer,
yeah,
right? Because we can go to a fitness class with 20 other people.
Right.
But if you've got a personal trainer, you're going to be constantly redirected to those basic things that you already
know. And you're
know.
Getting that attention.
Yes. And I feel like that's a little bit like what our role was like. Like we were like personal trainers for these students. I was nodding my head because I think if my students had like been able to assign me a tattoo, they probably would have had tattooed. Where do we find the answers? We go back to the text.
Yeah.
I mean, if I said that one time last year, I said it hundreds because honestly, it's what these kids needed was just to be reminded of, you know, eat less, move more kind of principles.
Right.
And so it's a lot of just practicing that, you know, that repetition and teaching them to be conscientious. Yeah. It really, I think the other thing is, you know, with a personal trainer concept, they hold you accountable and they help you identify and move past your weaknesses. And I think that is so key to what we did. You know, I had one little girl who had a terrible time focusing, but I could constantly just say, hey, you know, eyes on the text or, you know, so I just think that the tutoring dynamic allowed us to just take what was, you know, the very basic things that they need in order to be strong learners and put it in a way that they could remember those basic principles and basically develop the strength and the muscles to apply them again and again.
Yeah, and I know it has to be rewarding to see the successes that when it starts clicking, when they start understanding, when you start seeing the improvement, they're probably gaining more confidence, and then you're gaining more confidence because you know that they're getting it.
So much so. Yeah. And obviously we see it anecdotally, you know, like in the groups we see that they're doing the things more automated and they're knowing the foundations more. Also, you know, it's nice to see it in the data. I know when I was able to look at my students' EZCVM scores, which that's not the TCAP, but that was the monthly measure that we gave, you know, and I was able to look at those at the end of the year versus the beginning of the year. I was like, wow, this is working. So that was also, you know, nice.
Yeah.
And sometimes it helps them to just be accountable, like Christy said, for themselves, because I had, especially my fourth graders, of course, they were a year older than the third graders and a little bit more mature.
Sure.
They were really very concerned about doing well on that achievement test.
Well, and so that's where we kind of want to break it up. You know, third grade, you're prepping them for the test. You're helping them get to the point where that they can pass it, and so they don't have to worry about those pathways to fourth grade, because if you pass the test, then, you know, you're good. It's then the fourth grade that didn't do as well on the TCAP at the third grade level, and now they come to you almost in desperation thinking, oh, my goodness, you know, if I don't learn this, or, you know, maybe there's some added pressure there. And do you see maybe the stress or the pressure on the kids knowing that, you know, maybe they didn't pass it, or are they even aware?
Yeah, they're aware.
Yeah.
They are. I think the fourth grade, again, more than the third. I think they're just more mature, and they've had that in third grade. Of course, I wasn't teaching at this time, but, you know, hearing parents or teachers talk, you know, it was very stressful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, very stressful. You know, the kids at the end of the year were having to take another test to see if they could, I forgot what they call it, but maybe be exempt from doing the tutoring.
Appeal.
Mm-hmm. So it was stressful, and it was stressful for the third grade teachers. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, kudos for every teacher but third, and now it's going to different levels, you know, up to fifth grade, I believe, and down even lower. And but
I think K-5 next year will.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it'll still be the lion's share will fall in that third, fourth grade.
Yeah.
My understanding is that'll still be the lion's share of the tutoring students, but there will be services offered from K-5 depending on, you know, a variety of things.
And I think with teaching reading for several years, like I said earlier, the writing is key because it, you know, the comprehension part counts a certain percentage, and I think the writing counts probably close to a third.
Mm-hmm.
And for third grade, and it may have been explained in other episodes, but they have to write one paragraph. But even getting the third graders to focus in and know to write a topic sentence and detail sentences and an ending sentence,
right.
It doesn't sound like that's difficult, but when you have to read
yeah.
a passage and apply what they're asking them to do,
yeah.
And there's another thing, they have to understand the directions, the prompt, and it's kind of in jargon that they're not used to reading. And for fourth grade, they have three different ones they may have. Mm-hmm. They have an informational,
mm-hmm.
they have an opinion, or they have a narrative.
Mm-hmm.
So you're trying to prepare those kids for each of those prompts,
right.
not knowing what they're going to have. And they're difficult,
yeah.
usually comparing two texts. So it's
yeah,
very
it
difficult.
It is. There's a lot of layers of learning, mm-hmm. and each of those things is like teaching a separate skill, teaching them to read the prompt and really make sure they're answering the prompt. I know I had a student who wrote a beautiful story, but it didn't actually nail the prompt. And so you have to teach them again and again
yeah.
to what exactly. And so that alone is a skill. Then introductions are a skill. So there are, it's a very multitask kind of accountability that they're having to show in this writing. And yeah, it's a quite an effort.
And it would be, of course, we can't look at, the teachers can't look at the test when they're taking them,
right.
but the practice test. I would say some adults would find it hard to write
yeah.
to those prompts.
I would agree.
Yeah. And we see the pressure that these students are under. We see the anxiety is real. And, when you see a student that is trying and really wants to get there but just isn't absorbing the information, how do you handle that? What do you do in that situation when you know that they're trying but it's just not working for them?
I think you just got to encourage them a lot, and you give them, hey, you're doing it. It'll come,
yeah.
If you got to put in your part. And a lot of times it is frustrating
yeah.
for them. But I think you just got to kind of be a be a cheerleader for them, and sometimes it's the text, what it's about. If they have mm-hmm. no interest in that text,
mm-hmm.
it's harder for them to write
yeah.
as well, where they're familiar
with
it.
Oh, I agree
with
that.
yeah.
Even
yeah.
now, right?
Yes, subject matter means everything.
Yeah.
yeah. So. Well, how much do you think the teachers appreciate what you do? I mean, do your tutors, you're kind of from the outside coming in. You spend time with specific students and maybe not, actually feel like you're part of a school because you're just at the school there to tutor. But do you feel appreciated? Do you feel valued in what you do? Because obviously what you do is so important, because we look at the percentages and it's working. The tutoring process is working in Putnam County, because when we look at the percentages that we just got back on our TCAP test, I mean, we're making gains and growth pretty much everywhere. And it's because of our tutors and what you do. So, do you feel appreciated? Do you feel like you have a big responsibility?
Yeah, if I'm going to be honest, one of the schools that I went into, the teacher liaison at the beginning, it was obvious that she was skeptical.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, something else that I have to do.
Yeah.
And so the first few weeks were a little rocky.
Sure.
But by the end of the year, the proof is in the pudding,
yeah,
right? And
right.
so by the end of the year, she came to me the last week and said, I just want you to know that I've asked for you to have you back next year and, my same team back. And so...
Yeah.
I think that, anytime you try something new, and like Andrew said, I mean, it added to their plate initially.
Yeah.
And I do think that they're planning to do some restructuring next year to take some of the burden off. We learn things
sure.
as we develop.
Absolutely.
And this is a fairly new program.
Yeah, you gotta adapt.
But yeah, I think anyone who worked with the tutoring at this point would probably be quick to say, yeah, it makes a difference.
Well, ladies, again, thank you so much for what you do. We're out of time. Can you believe it? Yes, that's all the time we have for this week. I do want to thank Angie Robinson and Christy Campbell, two of our tutors in the Putnam County School System, for being with us. Ladies, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And thanks for listening, everyone. Have a great week, and God bless.